This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وأوحينا إلى أم موسى أن أرضعيه فإذا خفت عليه فألقيه في اليم ولا تخافي ولا تحزني إنا رادوه إليك وجاعلوه من المرسلين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا سمعوا اللغو أعرضوا عنه وقالوا لنا أعمالنا ولكم أعمالكم سلام عليكم لا نبتغي الجاهلين. صدق الله العظيم. So we're still discussing the amazing qualities and attributes of these people of the book. We spoke about the fact that how they embrace both their scriptures, and for them is a dual reward. They were complete in their aqidah and their belief. Likewise, they were outstanding and sublime in their character. يَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ. If somebody was nasty to them, they would not stoop so low. They would not reciprocate in a like manner. They would rise above. They would give a good response, a polite response. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And they spend from that which Allah has given them. And we spoke about the latter portion of the ayah speaks that they were free from hubbe jah and hubbe mal. Ma dhi'bani ja'i'ani ursila fi ghanamin bi afsada laha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, two hungry wolves, reflect over the words, two hungry wolves, right, that are released in a flock of sheep, they will not cause so much harm to that sheep as much as the crave of wealth and the crave of fame will cause to the iman of a person. The Prophet ﷺ did not say two wolves, he said two hungry wolves. And then he did not say wealth and fame, he said the crave of wealth and fame. And all this I read in the writings of Hakim al-Ummah rahimahullah. So wealth, if it comes and you're not craving for it, and fame, if it comes from the Almighty and you are not desperate for it, then this is a bounty from Allah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ وُدَّ. Those who obey Allah and do righteous deeds, Allah will instill their love in the hearts of people. Allah spoke about ذُو الْقَرْنَيْنِ إِنَّا مَكَّنَّا لَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا. That we had blessed him, he traversed the earth, and we had given him power, we had given him resources. فيه دلالة على أن حصول المال حتى الخزائن وحصول الجاه حتى السلطنة لا ينافي الكمال. There's mention in مسائل السلوك that to own wealth right up to the treasures and to have prominence right up to leadership is not against the station of نبوة, as long as you're not seeking it. إِنَّا لَنْ نَسْتَعْمِلَ عَلَى عَمَلِنَا مَنْ أَرَادَ. إِنَّا لَنْ نَسْتَعْمِلَ عَلَى عَمَلِنَا مَنْ أَرَادَ. We will not delegate a post to anyone who's seeking the post. So if Allah is giving you the prominence and you're not seeking the prominence, then this is a ni'mah from Allah. So, وَيَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ. They resist evil in a good manner, means they are free from حُبَّ جَاهِ. They're not there to preserve their ego and to protect their self-esteem. And, you know, of course, we're not saying that you must humiliate yourself. Preservation of dignity is important. But often today, because a person's ego has been trampled or he's been told something and he is wrong about it. He is wrong about it. But he finds it too difficult to accept the truth. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ أي النَّخْوَى أَخْنَسْ بِنْ شُرَيْقِ. Who was this disbeliever, munafiq? Whenever he was told something, fear Allah, he would feel offended. He would feel violated. Furthermore, in verse 55, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about yet another salient quality of these people of the book. So as I mentioned, according to the narration of Muhammad bin Ishaq, it was the delegation that had come from Africa, from Ashama, and they came, they met with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you know, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam received them very well. In fact, in one book in Babul Mukafa'ah, I read the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood up to personally receive them. So the Sahaba said, لو تركتنا كفيناك يا رسول الله. O Nabi of Allah, sit down, we will attend to these guests.
And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innahum kanu li ashabi mukrimeen. Innahum kanu li ashabi mukrimeen. They honored my companions when my sahaba took shelter there. We know the first migration had taken place to Africa and then subsequently to Medina. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acknowledged the fact that Africa had hosted, housed, accommodated, received the sahaba, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up to acknowledge them. So when they came and they embraced the truth, and then they also realized that the economic condition of the sahaba was not too good, so they also generously spent and donated and contributed. So people started making remarks, the disbelievers. I mean, you just come on the first instance, you see a man, you just embrace his faith, you just take to his teachings, and you just spend generously, like strange of you people. So in verse 55, Allah says, وَإِذَا سَمِعُ اللَّغْوَ. And when they heard futility, and when they heard vain talk, when they heard nonsense, when they heard people say nasty things, أعرضوا عنه. They moved aside, they continued, they ignored. وقالوا, and they said, لنا أعمالنا ولكم أعمالكم. We will be responsible for our actions, and you will be liable for your actions. You will not be held accountable for what we do, and we will not be held accountable for what you do. لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. We greet you. Of course, this is not the greeting of peace. This is Salamul Mutaraka. Imam Abu Bakr Jassas has made sarahat on this here. He has mentioned this here categorically in his Ahkamul Quran. Salamul Mutaraka means we part in ways. Listen, I don't want to get in your space. Don't come in my space. Don't get under my skin. You know what? Me and you don't have a dialogue in place. We don't have a dialogue in place. When Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam conveyed the message to his father Azar, and his father was hostile and was an adversary and was uncouth, then he said, Salamun alayk. Oh my dad, I greet you and I'm leaving. Hada salamul i'rad. عن الأغيار وتلطف الأبرار مع الجهال لا إله إلا الله هذا سلام الإعراض عن الأغيار. This was a salam of turning away. I'm moving on. وتلطف الأبرار مع الجهال. And it's also a reflection of the dignified communication of the noble and the pious with people that are naive, foolish and belligerent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, move on in a beautiful way. Move on in a beautiful way. Ignore them and move on. So in life, you're always going to get people that's going to hurl things, say nasty things, make comments. Are we living up to the demand of the Quran of وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. Leave them in a beautiful way. One is you move away and then you hurl something, you say something nasty, you type out something, you know what, you come across in a sarcastic way. No, وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. Respond, I mean, leave them and move in a beautiful way. So, وَإِذَا سَمِعُ اللَّغْوَ, when they hear futility or nonsense or somebody say nasty things to them, they say, لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. We spoke about the academics. مُتَارَكَ. مُتَارَكَ is from جَانِبَيْن. مُفَعَلَ. Meaning, you know, leave me alone and I'll leave you alone. I really don't want to get into the space. And from this we learn, the scholars have said that when you see a person is adamant on his ignorance and he's persistent on his ways, then move on. Because it's counterproductive. It's counterproductive. لَا نَبْتَغِي الْجَاهِلِينَ. We do not want to engage with foolish people. We've got nothing to discuss. We've got nothing to discuss. So they were not deterred. Their spirits were not dampened. They were not intimidated by the comments, the remarks, the observations, the slurs of their foes, their enemies, their adversaries. They kept focused. They reverted to the deen and they spent generously and they embraced the truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this character. Bless us with this character. So that kind of concludes the discussion of the people of the book. And that's the beauty of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises and acknowledges. وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِقِنْطَارٍ يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ. Some from amongst these people are so honest, so trustworthy. Give them an entire treasure and they will return it to you in every penny and every cent. In verse 56, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about an incident that was, of course, very, very emotional to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, I must, admire the rabt that has been captured in Bayanul Quran. So verse 56, an overview of what is being discussed here. It is regarding the disbelief of Abu Talib, the fact that Abu Talib did not embrace the deen. أَجْمَعَ الْمُفَسِّرُونَ أَجْمَعَ الْمُحَقِّقُونَ. This is what Zujaj's words is. This almost consensus of the scholars, and the narration of Sahih Muslim also indicates in this direction that this verse was regarding Abu Talib. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in verse 56? And then I'll tie it up with the rabt, the correlation between the preceding verses and this verse. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you cannot guide whomsoever you wish. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But Allah guides whomsoever He wishes. وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. And not only that you cannot guide, you are unaware of who is guided and who will be guided. That is only in the knowledge of Allah. وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ. And Allah knows best بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ, about the guided individual. So this is not in the knowledge of any human to guide. نَصَّ الْقُرْآنُ. نَصَّ الْقُرْآنُ. The Quran is quite clear that the guidance of any person لَيْسَتْ بِيَدِ النَّبِيِّ, is not in the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So there are two things in this regard. We have ira'atul tariq and we have isal ilal matlub. Ira'atul tariq is to show the path. And in this regard, of course, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam guides. Wa innaka latahdi ila siratin mustaqim. The concluding verses of Surah Shura. And surely you guide to the straight path, meaning you show people the straight path. And then you have isal ilal matlub, to take the individual to the destination. This is not in the control of a Nabi. And this is what is referenced here. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. So we all know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had this fervent desire and this burning passion for the guidance of every soul. For the guidance of every soul. And of course, his family all the more. And in particular, his uncle, who was so dear to him and who stood as a pillar of support for him, and who would ward off any attack against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They came to Abu Talib and they said, tell your nephew to stop his message and tell your nephew to stop inviting people. And Abu Talib came and he said, oh my nephew, this is what people are saying to me. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لو وضعوا الشمس في يميني والقمر في يساري على أن أترك هذا الأمر ما تركته. Oh my beloved, honorable, august, venerable uncle, if they were to put the sun, meaning all the difficulties in my path, or the moon, all the comforts in my path, and either or, and then ask me to give up, I will not abandon my mission. I will not abandon my mission. And Abu Talib said, and I will defend you till the last breath. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to his uncle, oh my uncle, read the kalima, and I will defend your cause, and I will intercede for you in akhirah. So, for a person to qualify for intercession, he has to have his own passport of iman. Passport of iman. Once you have the passport of iman, then yes, the intercession of the anbiya will assist. The intercession of the pious. There's so many different levels of shafa'at. Babu shafa'a, it appears in the books of hadith. Fathul Bari says, he's recorded under this ayah, عَسَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا, that there are 10 levels of shafa'at and intercession that will take place. We ask Allah to make us amongst the fortunate people who will qualify for the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his uncle, read the kalima, read the kalima. And what did his uncle say? وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِّنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا. Oh my nephew, I know with certainty that you are a prophet. right? But as we say, Islam, janne ka naam nahi hai, manne ka naam hai. It is not sheer understanding, but it is embracing of the faith. It is accepting. Iqrar bil lisan, tasdeeq bil jinan, amal bil arkan. The articulation with the tongue, the conviction with the heart, and the display with the organs. That's the combination of iman. But I'm afraid that people will say, I buckled under pressure. I buckled under pressure. Lawla al-malama. If it wasn't for the fear of what people would have said, I would have uttered the words and I would have brought comfort to your eyes. But he did not utter it. And of course, Allah knows best. And we cannot possibly imagine the pain of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and how emotional. I read in Ruhul Ma'ani and in Tafsir Uthmani, the scholars say that a person should not make the topic of the disbelief of Abu Talib a topic of discussion, because there is fear that you will be causing pain to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You will be causing pain to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we don't want to ever cause any pain. Yes, we do not shy away from the verse, nor the commentary of the verse, but we don't make it a point of debate and discussion and deliberation. We limit our discussion to the context of the ayah. What was discussed here, what was mentioned here, that's it. Beyond the skafful lisan, restrain your tongue. I give a simple analogy, and I've said it to my students in class. As a student, you are serving your teacher. There is the spiritual transmission taking place. Your teacher's son, unfortunately, has succumbed to some wrong or vice. You come to the teacher and you say, Ustad, you know what, your son, unfortunately, I've discovered that he's, committing this crime, doing this wrong. The teacher is aware of it. He says, okay, I appreciate the alert. I am conscious. I am aware. Thank you for alerting me. After a period of time, you come and repeat it again. Now, that is the brutal truth that this student, the child of the teacher has defaulted and he is a delinquent and he has succumbed to certain social vices. But by you repeatedly discussing this with the teacher, surely you're going to cause pain to his heart. You're going to cause pain to his heart. And this is a regular teacher and this is a common teacher that we're talking in an average setup. This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the greatest human, Khairul Bashar, Nabiul Anbiya. So we should not be discussing this topic unnecessarily. But the balance is where the verse appears, where the discussion presents, we do discuss it. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you cannot guide whomsoever you wish. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاء And we learn from this, if taking a person to a destination is not in the control of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then how can one ever imagine that, you know what, guidance is guaranteed at the hands of this mentor or this scholar or in the discourses of this person? We can say, you know what, take him to this gathering, take him to the scholar. Hopefully, with the grace of Allah, it will have a profound impact on his heart and Allah will guide him to the truth. But that scholar per se or that gathering per se cannot change his life. It can surely show him the direction, but guidance comes from the Almighty. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ And Allah alone knows who will be the guided ones. And Allah alone knows who are the guided ones. So many times in our life, we observe a person and you think guidance would never come to this individual. And subhanAllah, there's a 360 degree turn. And Allah has blessed him with iman and he's reverted to the deen and he's changed his life. The magicians in the time of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, they came to challenge the Nabi and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with iman. فيه ذكر ألطاف الله تعالى في نقل من شاء من عباده من غاية الكفر والعناد إلى نهاية الإيمان والسداد. This is mentioned there in Bayan al-Quran. It speaks volumes about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala في نقل من شاء من عباده من غاية الكفر والعناد إلى نهاية الإيمان والسداد. from the depth and the abyss of disbelief to the pinnacle of faith and submission, that these magicians came in the morning as disbelievers, as opponents to the Prophet, challenging the truth. And in the evening of that same morning, they were believers, they were companions, and they were martyrs. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve the iman that He has given us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those fortunate people that we leave this world with iman. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen.